This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 9th, 2024, the second Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I will put enmities between thee and the woman, thy seed and her seed. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Over the past several months, we have had Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, Trinity Sunday, Corpus Christi, all these very specific mysteries of our Lord, things that he has done for us. And now we enter into the time of Pentecost, Trinity Tide. We should approach this as it gets practical for us. We've heard for the past several months what Jesus Christ has done for us and what is expected of us in the context of those mysteries. But now it's time for us to do our part in this whole thing. The first reading from today, very apropos for jumping off into practicality. You come here more in a couple weeks, you hear about practical Catholicism, you hear about spiritual warfare, and they are just not words or ought not be taken as words. They are a way we're supposed to live our life, and the reason for that is because what our Lord says in this passage in Genesis. You look at the context, what has just occurred? The eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God had told them, the only rule that they had, and he said, if you do it on that day, you will die the death, spiritually and physically. He meant it, and it happened. It's the worst day that has ever happened in human history. And on this worst day of human history, God comes down, seeks out Adam and Eve, they confess, and he presents to them what has traditionally been called the proto-gospel. The proto-gospel, the first time we get the idea that God is going to send a redeemer. Get that from that part where he says, he will bruise your head, serpent, and you will bruise his heel. A redeemer. And the assurance that man is ultimately going to prevail in this combat stupendous, so to speak, that Adam and Eve foist upon us because of their actions. We are assured that we will prevail if we fight, if we do what we're supposed to do. Because when he says, I will put enmities between thee and the woman, thy seed and her seed. Enmity is a very churchy way to say your enemies. Your enemies. Enemies fight. They just don't look at each other and make mean faces at one another and call each other names. They fight. We see this in our Lord's Passion. We see this in what he expects of us. So the gospel, the good news of our salvation is founded on and nothing but the enmities between the serpent and the woman, his seed and her seed. Generally speak about the gospel, that's usually a warm and fuzzy. Jesus died for your sins, so you just basically sit back here and take an air now, and it doesn't matter because he's gracious and merciful and everything will be just fine. That is a bold-faced, out-and-out lie. It is a lie. We are part of Christ's army. We are a part of the church militant. It is many people shun that term in our day and age. Just because they shun it doesn't mean that it's not what it is. The church militant, where we get the term military and militia, it's about fighting. That's what we are supposed to do. Fight against this enemy of the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is the reality of our Catholic lives if we do it right. If you don't, you're going to have problems. We are combatants. Kind of interesting. In this world, big wars like World War II, the vast majority of men that were drafted into the military did not actually see combat. A small percentage actually saw combat. The rest of them were non-combatants. They were support troops. They made sure that they had bullets up front. They made sure they had food up front. They hauled things back and forth. They worked in supply depots and warehouses and things like that. So only a small percentage of them were combatants. Completely different situation for us as members of the church militant. Everybody is a combatant. Everybody. Well, I don't want to be a combatant. I don't want to fight. Tough. It's tough. It's like a little kid that's born in the Middle East or the Ukraine. I don't want to be around a war. Tough. This is God's providence. We have to realize that we have been thrust into this combat stupendous between the serpent and the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is first and foremost our Lord Jesus Christ, personified. But it's also the members of the church militant, the bride of Christ. We are to fight. It's our life. It's a life of confrontation. A life. Well, I fought one battle. I'm good. No, keeps going on and on and on. My grandfather was in World War II. He was on Okinawa from day one until it was over. He was wounded twice. It's kind of interesting. But this day and age, you do your tour, or you get wounded and they put you in a helicopter and they take you to a hospital in another country or way, way far from the line. My grandfather was wounded twice. He went to the aid station. They patched him up and gave him his rifle back. You can walk, you go fight. Twice he was wounded. And it was like, you're doing your tour. No, you get drafted. You come back and you're going to win, or you'll come back in a box. Okay, that's it. That's us. That's us. Every single one of us is a combatant in that context. We are, should be, act like, fight like we are seed of the woman. Because, you know, there is dire consequences. Dom Scopoli, in his book, Spiritual Warfare, says, you have no choice. You must fight. If you do not fight, you will be taken prisoner by our enemy. And it's not a matter of you'll be in the prison camp until the duration and then you get repatriated. You will spend eternity in the prison camp with the enemy. That will be your lot. So my suggestion is, you better start fighting. This is what our Lord demands of us. This is what this is the proto-gospel. This is the good news. You have an opportunity to fight. If you don't, then you're going to lose. We have to come to this realization. This has to be the reality of our Catholic faith. It is the gospel. The gospel is the good news about Jesus coming and dying for my sin. The gospel is about the enmity that exists between the woman and the serpent. That's it. That's it. That's the only thing that God speaks about. Our Lord Jesus, who is the first one to step into this ring, so to speak, he says in the gospel today, no man can enter into the house of a strong man and rob him of his goods. Well, very, parable-esque. What are you talking about? Who's the strong man? Satan. What are his goods? Fallen humanity. When Adam and Eve transgressed, they willingly surrendered. They willingly surrendered to Satan. And when you willingly surrender to your enemy, you're theirs. They can put you in forced labor. They can do whatever they want to you because you have surrendered They surrendered to Satan, and he has the right to keep us. The thing that saves us is our Lord Jesus Christ entering the ring and binding the strong man. Unless he first be bound, and then you shall plunder his goods. We're the goods that Jesus plunders from the strong man. But when you take something from somebody, even if they've taken it from you in the first place, they get real upset about it. I remember one time up north when I was a cop up there, I get this call. When you know people's names because they're so bad, you know, it's like, yeah, I've arrested that dude 4 times for burglary and 4 times for grand theft and this and that, the other thing like that. If you know the person, I get a call one day, and I was like, that address kind of sounds familiar. It was a theft call. And guess who it was? Him. I got a car. Really? You have the audacity to call and report that somebody stole something from you. You who made your life as a career criminal. People take stuff from me. That's weird. Bad people don't like when you take their stuff. You probably stole that stuff. They don't like when you take their stuff. Jesus took, he plundered his house. That's what the church is. That's us. We're the plunder. Satan wants it back, and he will do absolutely anything he can to get it back. Anything. Enemies are much more ferocious when they know they're losers. We lost more men in World War II in the last year of that war than we did all the years before. Oh, why is that? You know, we won. Yeah, but guess what? You might have won, but you're going to pay a price. I had to take as many of you with me as I can. And that's what they did. That's where Satan is right now. He is a vanquished foe. He was merciless and ferocious before. Now it's even worse. He'll do absolutely anything to drag you down with him. He knows it's over, but he's going to do as much damage as he possibly can. The only way you're going to avoid that is to fight him. Jesus did his part. Jesus vanquished. It's kind of interesting how Jesus vanquished him too. He vanquished him on the cross by exhibiting in his humanity a weakness, so perceived by the world. Yeah, the Pharisees, they go, oh yeah, you know, come down from the cross. If you're the Son of God, come on down. You know, if you could. He could have, but he hung there anyway. And they looked at him and wagged their heads. What a weakling. Saved others, he can't save himself. And it was just the opposite. He could have come down at any moment, and he didn't. It shows, they looked at it as weakness. This is why St. Paul says, the weakness of God is stronger than man. Our Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross was the most courageous, the strongest act that has ever been performed in this world. And that was his weakness. And then, after he did that, then he shows his strength. What is the consequence of being in bondage to Satan? Death. That's it. That's the end all be all. That's what we're all petrified of, is death. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in his weakness, hung on the cross and died. And then he really showed his strength by, oh, the only thing you got going for you is death? Here, watch me overcome that. This is what bound Satan. And this is what gave our Lord Jesus Christ the right to plunder his house. And now we are the plunder, and he expects us to now fight for ourselves. He's done his part. Now we have to do ours. Christ provided you an opportunity to fight. We see this in the traditional rites of initiation. In the traditional rites of initiation, we talk about the combat between the newly baptized in the world, the flesh, and the devil. We see exorcisms. We have the sign of the cross put on that child's back to signify that he's going to have to bear that cross for the rest of his life. It's indelible. You have to do that. And then at confirmation, traditionally, there is a whole lot of military language used. There is a whole lot of talk of fighting, and then after you receive the sealing of the anointing of oil, then traditionally you get the slap on the cheek. What's that all about? We don't do that anymore. Yeah, it's obvious. It's obvious, because what does that signify? It signifies that you're going to get hurt. You're going to get smacked down every now and then in this life of faith. You need to expect it. You need to prepare yourself for it. But we don't do that anymore. Yeah, like I said, it's very obvious, because we got a church full of people who don't fight. This time of the year, when we are in Trinity time, we are in a time where we learn how to fight, practically speaking. We learn about the weapons that we have, the sacraments, the sacramentals, the means of grace, prayer, the preaching of the word, the scriptures. All these things are weapons to use against. Well, I don't use it. I'm not one to do this. I'm not one to do that. You know how ridiculous that sounds? You're like, hey, there's an enemy coming down Edgewater Drive. Here's a bunch of weapons. I'm only going to take that one over there. And they're loud, and I don't like the way they feel. You know, they're scary. You know, duh. Okay, use every weapon you have. And when you run out of ammunition, guess what? Pick up a stick. Continue to fight, because you don't want to be taken by the enemy. This is what we're supposed to do. You got all kinds of things to protect yourself. The hedge of the Holy Spirit. You got your guardian angel. And I'm always talking about, talk to your guardian angel. I never even pay attention. Oh, okay, yeah, guardian angel, whatever. Shame on you. Okay, you don't want to use them? Okay. Suffer the consequences. This is a reality. It is a reality. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to fight for it. And you must. You absolutely must. You learn about these things and you use them. Because if you fight well, you're rewarded. You get rewarded if you fight well. Back in the day, the early days, you know, you're enamored of these guys that have been around, and you see their chest full of ribbons, and you're like, oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. And then as you're in your career and you start to stack them up, all of a sudden you realize what it costs to get that stuff. And then when young guys look at you and go, oh, that's so awesome, you might want to really think twice about wanting to get this one, because I got this one for this, and I got this one for getting hurt real bad, and I got this one because of this very ugly situation. You know, that's what you get those things for. There's a price to be paid. They just don't hand them to you. You've got to realize this. And we get rewarded when we fight for Christ. It's called heaven. It's like getting the Congressional Medal of Honor. You know, you ever wonder, when I want to get to heaven, I want to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. You ever think about, well done, good and faithful servant? Well done what? What did you do well? I never killed anybody, or I never did it. That's not what Jesus talked about. Well done, good and faithful. You fought. You fought against the world, the flesh, and the devil. You fought. We have to. Sometimes temporally. But of course, spiritually. Well done, good and faithful servant. You fought well. Enter into the kingdom that has been prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Because there are other people there who they actually thought they were in his army. Lord, Lord, have we not done this for you? Depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because you're a coward. You didn't fight. You gave in to sin. You didn't go to confession. You received the Blessed Sacrament unworthily, not in a proper disposition, because you haven't gone to confession. You did everything bad. Depart from me, coward, wretched traitor. We're traitorous to God. When he did that for us, and we just sit back and don't do a thing for ourselves. It's disgusting. Even in this world, you're a deserter. Guess what? I'll get you. Shot. Why? Because only a most wretched coward will leave his brothers and sisters on the battlefield and run, because things are getting too ugly. This is our lot in this life. We're going to be wounded. You cannot fight and not be wounded. You can't do it well and not get hurt. Wounds in this world, you know, when we are confronted with our own feeble abilities to stand up for what God wants of us, when we fall, when we commit sins that we never thought in a million years I'd ever have to confess this, That's a wound. Go to the aid station. We call that the confessional. Go in there, get patched up, get back in the fight. Because you go, oh, it hurts. I'm not going to get up. Guess what? The enemy's going to come over and put a bayonet in you while you lay there and weep about what's going on with you. Fix it, get up, and fight some more. You're going to have wounds when you look at family members and friends who have turned their back on the church and they are wounded or killed. Believe you me, you don't want to be on a battlefield and look at somebody who got wounded or is killed next to you and sit there, oh, my friend. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to get killed also. Keep fighting. There'll be a time for your mourning later on. Pray for those people who go about your business, but continue to fight, or you will be taken prisoner. This is the reality. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Like I said in the second reading today, for that which is momentary and light of our tribulation worketh for us above measure exceedingly the eternal weight of glory. The wounds that we receive here are nothing compared to the rewards that we're going to get. Look at the guy with a chest full of medals and go, oh, that's so awesome. Hey, near as awesome as living for eternity with our blessed Savior, His Holy Mother, and the angels and saints. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost.